But I am here in studio with two special guests, and we're going to talk about Pandas Pans, which I very honestly didn't know much about until, I'd say, within the past month I'd heard about it. But we're going to let our listeners know more about it, because I think this is something that we are going to be hearing more and more about. I've got two very special guests here. I've got Lisa Crisolia of Rockland. Thank you for joining us today. And we also have Jennifer Whalen of Hull. Thank you very much. They both have different backgrounds when it comes to that. Now, if I missed something in your introduction, I want you to tell me. Now, Lisa, you're a founding member and current president of the New England PANS Panda Association, as well as a member of the Department of Public Health Panda PANS Advisory Council, and you started the first panda support group back in 2010.
Yes.
Okay, very impressive. And Jennifer, as we said, you're a Hull resident, you're a board member and secretary of the New England PANS Pandas Association. Thank you both for joining us today. As I asked this question about a month ago when I first heard about it, Lisa, tell me, what exactly am I talking about? What is PANS Pandas?
So PANS are pandas. They're both acronyms. So PANS is an acronym for Pediatric Acute Onset Neuropsychiatric Syndrome, and PANDAS stands for Pediatric Autoimmune Neuropsychiatric Disorder Associated with Strep. So basically, this occurs when the body's immune system mistakenly attacks healthy cells following an infection, like strep. There's also other triggers that can lead to this brain inflammation. This is a misdirected immune response, and it results in an acute onset of the neuropsychiatric symptoms. So it ranges from severe anxiety, OCD, aggressive behavior, irritability, to motor and sensory abnormalities such as motor tics and vocal tics. The symptoms are not often sudden in onset, but they can be alarming. And many parents just describe watching their children transform into a child that they just don't recognize.
Absolutely. Now, we were talking a little bit off air, Jennifer, and I think you had a great, you talked about it. People get sick from one thing and things transfer and cause a response. Can you tell our listeners what that was?
Yes. Yeah, so basically, somebody would get some type of infection, and your body develops antibodies to fight that infection. And instead of fighting the infection, what it does is it's fighting the basal ganglia in the brain, which is responsible for these symptoms, the OCD and the tics. And
so it's a lot to deal with. Now, I had some good background information here, and I know this reporter, James Cuxtis, who works for Wicked Local, very good reporter. And I did read his story. There were several stories about, we were talking about Jennifer Vitelli, who's a Marshfield resident who couldn't be here today, but shared her story about her son basically went to bed as one sweet little boy and woke up and it was like a whole different personality. And to quote the article, he woke up with uncontrollable full body motor tics, an involuntary vocal tic, his eyes dilated, suddenly unable to articulate himself, he couldn't think straight, was unable to add two numbers, he couldn't brush his teeth or tie his shoes, and he was riddled with unfounded debilitating fears and unrelenting OCD. It's sort of like that infection gets a hold and causes so many other symptoms. And this is the experience that you folks have had personally with members in your own family, so you know what that's like. How does somebody get it? We talked about getting an infection, but what are the possibilities? Tell me about the different infections, how this can start.
So PANS and PANDAS are both medical conditions brought on by post-infectious encephalitis, so brain inflammation. It's just important to understand that the condition occurs when the body's immune system mistakenly attacks, as Jennifer said, healthy brain cells, specifically the basal ganglia part of the brain. This part of the brain will create like a mechanism that that will control the OCD, mm-hmm. any of those type of things that you're seeing in Jennifer Vitelli's child's story, that it will trigger it. So PANDAS only has a strep trigger, but PANS will have several different triggers, such as Lyme, Mycoplasma pneumonia, Coxsackie, COVID, or tick-borne infections.
My goodness, and like I said, I hadn't even heard of this until recently. Again, a child goes to sleep, or just from one day to the next, their whole personality can change. Jennifer, mm-hmm. tell me a little bit about how do they treat this? Is this with heavy-duty antibiotics? How do they treat it at first?
Initially, it's treated with antibiotics, but it can also get to the point where they may require something called IVIG if it's pretty severe and is causing, you know, poor functioning in the child and they can't go to school. I mean, you know, some of these children have a pretty severe.
And I think, and if I read this correctly, it looks like sometimes these symptoms that happen can happen maybe weeks after the initial infection. So doctors might not put two and two together and think, well, you had this 8 weeks ago. Why would he or she be behaving like that now? Lisa, is that something typical?
Yes, absolutely. It's the they'll show like a rise of the blood titers, it's called, and the strep will rise in the titer, so they can go back and they can check with blood work to see if they had an actual strep infection in the past.
What do people do if they think, oh my gosh, I'm listening to this, this is very similar to what my child had? What are the resources? What do they do?
Well, excuse me, we are lucky here in Massachusetts because we have two nonprofits that support PANS and PANDAS families. We have the New England PANS and PANDAS Association, which Lisa and I are part of, and then there's the JBC PANS and PANDAS Foundation. The New England PANDAS Association is basically a group of parents and medical volunteers that are from various states across New England, and we raise awareness for this disorder. We educate various members of the community, from teachers, medical professionals, legislators, parents, and beyond that. We do it through workshops, conferences, the media, and any other way we can get the word out. We also have a monthly support meeting to provide support to caregivers and work closely with the Massachusetts Coalition for PANS PANDAS legislation to get the much-needed legislation and advocacy group passed.
Now, do you have a Facebook page or a website that people can go to if they're listening to this?
We have a Facebook page. And we also have a website, which is www.anypans.org.
Okay, let's say somebody's listening to this and tomorrow morning they get up and think, oh my goodness, my daughter, my son is having some of these symptoms. What is the first thing you should do? Call your medical provider or say, I think this may be happening, Lisa?
Yes, absolutely. They should call and mention that they have heard of this disorder, mm-hmm. ask if they could maybe possibly do a strep test, and see if their provider actually has even heard of PANS or PANDAS before.
Now, it's interesting with some of the things you were telling me about some of the symptoms that can come from this. Again, this is just anecdotally. I imagine that there must have been, I don't know how many thousands of misdiagnosed cases of this over the decades with people who are thought to have become maybe schizophrenic, mentally ill, put them on, you know, drugs for this. Is this something you're hearing anecdotally? Again, I'm not a medical professional.
Absolutely. I mean, I have my own experience where I have two children with this, and one of my children was put on high doses of antipsychotic and anti-anxiety medications prior to actually finding out what was really wrong with her.
Mm-hmm. And have you found that when you do have the treatment, is this curable or is this treatable?
It basically should be treatable if there is caught soon enough. So mm-hmm. right now what's happening is because this illness primarily presents as a mental illness, then it's often diagnosed or misdiagnosed and missed altogether. So it means that we're just relegating our children to symptom management mm-hmm. When there's hope for a cure. So if they find out early enough that it's triggered by something, they could treat that, what it's triggered by. Mm-hmm. So we think that there's a stigma around mental health and mental illness, and it's truly just confounding access to care and diagnosis for this disorder.
So if, let's say they treat it with these doses of antibiotics and get rid of the infection, so that's not cured, it's something that they still have to keep treating? That's where I guess I'm confused.
In certain cases, I believe that if they catch it soon, then they, you know, could be cured mm-hmm. right away. If they find out that this was the trigger, it was strep, they put them on a dose of antibiotics and the symptoms go away. But in some cases, it might be more complicated because they may also have possibly Lyme or Mycoplasma pneumonia or something else that could be triggering it also.
How come I've never heard of this before until like 2 months ago? Seriously.
Unfortunately, we need more providers to get on board and find out a little bit more about this and be educated as to what's happening. I think that where we currently, even now, know that COVID comes with 20 to 40% of neuropsychiatric symptoms and can also be a trigger for this, that we need to be having different conversations about mental health that include possible medical triggers.
Okay.
So we can help as many children as we can.
And Jennifer, if you could give me again your website or Facebook page.
It's www.anypans.org, and the other one I want to mention is the JBC Pans and Pandas Foundation, which is located in Scituate. They offer monetary grants to help eligible children and receive the proper diagnosis and treatment, and they're at www.jbcfund.org.
And, you know, I just want to mention one more thing. You did get legislation passed that's going to be helping people get treated. Lisa, tell me a little bit about this.
So Jennifer Vitale and Sheila Gouch are on the Mass Legislative Committee in Massachusetts, and they really spearheaded and worked along with New England PANS. We helped them to get the word out there. Josh Cutler was really instrumental in getting this pushed forward. And what we did that was really unique in Massachusetts is they actually incorporated not just this bill to go through to pay for treatment for PANS and PANDAS, including IVIG, which a lot of people pay out of pocket for, which is very expensive. But they also tacked on an advisory council, which we're the first state in the country to tack that advisory council on. So there'll be an advisory council to the Department of Public Health for PANS and PANDAS.
That's great. You've got some wonderful information here. It's a lot to learn about. As I said, we're all learning about this, those of us who don't have personal experience with it. We're going to put this whole interview up online as well, so if people have questions, they can go back and listen to that. And we appreciate you joining us today. Again, that was Jennifer Whalen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lisa Grisolia.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, and thank you for this opportunity to share with your listeners about this so misunderstood disease.
You're very welcome. I'm Christine James.